Romans 13 and verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us, and Lord, for your kindness. Lord, we look back at 2020, and yes, difficult times and some unprecedented things and a shift here and a shift there. But Lord, the one constant is you. Thank you, Lord, that you never change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, the same King James Holy Bible that I held in my hand a year ago, I hold in my hand today. Not one event that's happened in the last year has altered one word of this book. And so, Lord, thank you, dear God, that we have a rock that we can stand on. And Lord, we can, Lord, know that ultimately you're in control. Lord, we're excited about going forward, excited about another year. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help guide us, each and every one, Lord, not just in our involvement in our local church, but Lord, in an individual vision that you would give each and every one of things that you want them to do, accomplish, areas in which they can grow and be better. And Lord, more people that they can, Lord, be kind to and help and help grow and influence and reach for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And we'll start out by reading a list, and it's not from the calendar, but it's I think sometimes an explanation gives some people background as far as the process that your pastor goes through. Years ago, I sat down and I read through the book of Acts, and then I read through it again. I read through it 10 times in a row over the course of a couple weeks. And I said to myself, Lord, I'm going to have a pen in my hand, and I'm going to have paper in front of me. And you know, we all talk about we need to get back to the book of Acts, and we need to figure out what the church was. And folks, I come up with a list of 15 attributes of the abounding church in the book of Acts. And I settled that thing. I mean, 10 times through careful study, I looked at every story, every nuance. And I said, what was it about that first century group of Christians? I believe this. 21st century Christians can learn a lot from first century Christians. We need to go back to the book of Acts. Everybody seems like they got a brand new idea and want to write a new book about what the church is supposed to be and how it's supposed to change and what it's supposed to be doing. I think you just go back to the book of Acts and say, hey, I'm going to tell you what, if we could replicate what was happening back there, I don't know how you get any better than that. And I came up with 15 things I'll read to you now. And then what I do as a pastor is I look at these 15 attributes and I hold them up to our church. And, you know, I say to myself, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where are we at on each of these attributes? And then a lot of what I plan from year to year is simply to help us improve in each and every one of these areas. And so sometimes it's easy to say, well, you know, I got an idea, and I got an idea, and I got an idea. You could sit down, come up with 1,000 ideas of what would be cool, fun, whatever. But does it advance us in the direction of what we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to go? And I think a lot of the reason the church has gotten so far off the tracks, now, folks, they're just not off the tracks. They've gone on a different track. I mean, some of them are derailed. They're laying in the ditch somewhere. It's because we got away from looking at the book of Acts and what the Bible says about the church and what it's supposed to be. And we start coming up with a bunch of man's ideas. And it may have made the congregation a little happier, but it didn't make them holier. Okay? And it sure hasn't taken the church in a direction to bring revival to our country. So I'll read them and I'll stop. I don't think too many times here. I want to preach them, but I'll just read them, all right? How about this? We'll talk about this tonight. The expectation of Christ's imminent return. That's the first thing that comes up in chapter number 1. The expectation of Christ's imminent return. And if the church loses that, then it loses something so valuable. Because if we really, listen to me, really believe that Jesus Christ could come today, it's going to change the way we do things. It's going to reshuffle our priorities. It's going to keep us in the right mindset. The expectation of Christ's imminent return. Number 2, the power of united prayer. The power of united prayer. That's exactly, come on, chapter 1, going into chapter 2, where do we find the church? The power of united prayer. Come on Wednesday nights. Hang around for prayer time. Power of united prayer. Number 3, pursuit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to teach that tonight, but let me tell you, it is not true. I'm just flat telling you. I got King James Holy Bible. People that want to teach that that is when God sent the Holy Spirit down to the earth for the first time indwell Christians. They need to open the Bible and they need to read it accurately. Jesus, on the day that he was resurrected, he said it's in the promise of the Spirit. He said, I have to be glorified first. The day he showed up in his glorified body, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The reason I make an issue about that is, folks, what happened in the day of Pentecost, it wasn't some one-time thing that can't happen today as far as people being filled with the Spirit of God. I know there were some one-time signs that accompanied it, but it's not a one-time thing that can't be replicated. And if we do not understand, and we don't just, if we don't become dissatisfied with just being indwelt by the Spirit, be dissatisfied with just that. I'm not going to be satisfied with just being indwelt by the Spirit. You didn't have anything to do with that, by the way. I want to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the Holy Spirit doesn't just, he's just not in you, but he controls you. The Bible talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's that talking about? Well, what's baptism? What's the word baptism mean in the Bible? It means the immersion. You've got the filling, and that's everything filled on the outside. And then you got the baptism where you're engulfed in it. You're controlled by it. The Holy Spirit, he's just not there as a resident. Boy, he's running everything. And there's a wonderful higher level. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, doing backflips or being slain in the Spirit or the false doctrine of speaking in an unknown tongue. It doesn't have anything to do with that. What it has to do with emptying ourselves of self and sin and making room for the Holy Spirit to truly fill us. And so when the church gets hungry for that, boy, things happen. Number 4, plain, pointed, and powerful Bible preaching. Okay, well, boy, when we got away from that, we got away from the plan. Number 5, indisputable public miracles. Every single year, I say, God, I need to see it. The community needs to see it. Our people need to see it. A handful of things have got to happen this year where everybody stops and says, God did that. That is so unusual. That is so out of the norm. That is not anything that man could have fabricated. God did it. Indisputable public miracles. Number 6, a wholehearted commitment to evangelize the lost. How about that? I mean, but every day, they went from house to house. Every day. Number 7, courageous response. This is a good one. We're going to need to up our game on this one. Courageous responses to persecution and trials. When you study the book of Acts, what you do see is, buddy, they came after them. They came after them. And you know what? We have to predetermine how we're going to respond to that. And buddy, those apostles, I love those stories where they're confined and arrested and thrown in prison, kept all night. I love the first time they arrested them and they couldn't keep them in jail. The Lord just kind of, from the very beginning, said, I'll show you what's going to happen. He sends an angel, unlocks the door. And then he gets them out there and he says, now you go stand and speak in the temple. Just go back to where you were, what you were doing when they arrested you, and just get up there and just keep doing it. And they came to get him out, and they said, we can't find him. What do you mean you can't find him? I'm telling you, they're gone. The door was locked, but they're gone. Somebody comes running. You looking for those guys? Yeah, well, they're back doing what you arrested them for doing. And you know what, folks? They walked away from that whole experience. You know what? I mean, counted it an honor that they would be worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk about some of that this year. Number 8, strongly integrated local church community. Strongly integrated local church community. Buddy, these churches in the book of Acts, folks, they were family. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. They spent time together. You say, what is all this? You know, men's prayer breakfast, ladies' dessert night, after evening services. We understand the book of Acts. You understand more of what your pastor's trying to accomplish. Now, if you want to be a Lone Ranger, be a Lone Ranger. I still love you, and I'm still glad you're coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But boy, it is time for the church to pull together in unity in a way that we have not. And I'm telling you, you do need your church, and your church does need you right now. And so a strongly integrated local church community. Number 9, fear of God brought about by divine chastening. Fear of God brought about by divine chastening. This has happened a couple of times in the book of Acts, where somebody in the church did something where God just said, that's enough. And he reached down from heaven. He took Ananias and Sapphira. And it was a very public thing. And it was very much God that did it. And I'm not going to ever do it. I can stand up here and tell you in the 26 years that I've been back at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I can sit here and tell you that we've had some Ananias and Sapphira moments. Every once in a while, I think once or twice in every generation, God just reminds the church. Now listen, God's merciful, young people. He's merciful. And but the Bible does still say this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And I think you young people ought to always maintain in your hearts a fear of God. Well, I seen this person do it and this person do it. Nothing happened to them. Well, God might just decide to use you in a different way and make you an example. And folks, one of the things that ought to help keep us right is the fear of the Lord, is the fear of the Lord. And so here we see that, and you're going to see it. You can see it again this year. You know, I hope not. I hope all of us are loving God and doing the right thing and not breaking God's heart, not shaming the name of the Lord to the point where God doesn't even have to worry about that. But you see that fear of God brought about by divine chastening. Number 10, proper placement and execution of divine offices. And again, proper placement and execution of divine offices. You know what they had? They had the pastors, when they are going around starting these churches, you know what? They're ordaining pastors, elders. And then they, of course, in the book of Acts, the creation of the office of deacons. And as long as the preachers were doing what the preachers were supposed to do and the deacons were doing what the deacons were supposed to do, you know what? The church prospered and grew. And so proper placement and execution of divine offices. Number 11, a martyr's mentality. Man, when I wrote this thing down, you know, now what's it been, 20 years ago, you know, I wrote it down because it's true. And you know what? Now all of a sudden, in a way that we've not seen it before, we better get ready. We better get ready. And what is a martyr's mentality? Well, that means that we have a death wish. I don't. You may do. I don't. You know, maybe you do. I don't. I got a handful of conservative Christians just looking for some hill to die on. I mean, I'd just soon not. Okay, but you got to understand, in the book of Acts, there was a group of people that says, you know what? There's some things that we believe, and we will stand for no matter what. No matter what. And there was Stephen, come on. And then there was James, and there were others. But you know what? It didn't discourage the church. You know what it did? It emboldened the church. And so the martyr's mentality. Number 12, men called and trained in the gospel ministry. If a church is what it should be, if it's doing what it did in the book of Acts, then there ought to be young men that God reaches in that church and touches and calls into the gospel ministry. I mean, it happened all through the book of Acts. Not everybody, and it's not God's will for every young man to be a preacher. But I believe in every church that's doing right, we keep it in front of you, young men, keep it in front of you. Young ladies, we keep it in front of you. There has to be not only young men called into the gospel ministry, there has to be young ladies that God uniquely prepares to be pastors' wives and missionaries' wives. And I'll tell you, these pastors and missionaries, evangelists, they can't do it without them. And so men called and trained in the gospel ministry. Number 13, this is what I wrote down. Strong, scriptural, and saintly women. Strong, scriptural, and saintly women. Hey, it's one thing to read all those stories about all the things that the men accomplished. But I'm going to tell you something. They couldn't have done it if they didn't have strong, saintly, serving, scriptural women that understood that there were some things worth sacrificing for. You know, I talked about that integrated community. You watch the churches always in the book of Acts getting together and fellowshipping and eating. Well, think about who's cooking all those meals. Okay, they weren't ordering in from Chick-fil-A, okay? I mean, there were some ladies that said, you know what? Part of what God's created me to do is to see to it that when the church gathers for these things, that there is good food and nourishing food and the importance of getting the church around the same table together and the fellowship and all that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of meals that get cooked around here in a year's time, and a lot of covered dishes, amen, that get brought in. Thank you, ladies, for doing that. Number 14, proper discipleship of new converts. Proper discipleship of new converts. Number 15, how could you miss all that God used Paul and Barnabas to do together and then separately? Missionary endeavors into unreached areas. And boy, that starts in your Jerusalem, goes to your Judea, just permeates all the way out to the uttermost parts of the earth. And now, I wanted to explain that with you and take that a little time, because you got to understand, when I'm constructing and asking God for a vision and constructing a plan and planning events for the next year, you can't go to anything that doesn't feed into one of those. When you come and listen to the message and the series and the teaching, if you understand that list, come on, it's time some of us became mature enough to start figuring some things out. Some of you, the minute I start into a certain degree or I have to fix something, come on, when your preacher gets up here and has to fix something and you understand this, you say, of course he had to fix that, because that's going to undermine number 4. Of course he had to challenge that, because if not, number 6 isn't going to happen. Okay, I just want you to know, I'm not just beating the air. Okay, I'm not lost wandering through life. I very much get before God and ask for his leading, okay? And also try to base our plans and our efforts and what we're trying to accomplish on biblical principles. So I thought it'd be good to share that with you before we got into the actual thing. If you have a copy of your a calendar in front of you, and it's not necessary that you do, I'm just going to mention a handful of things. Just go through the calendar real quick. Of course, January, good night. It's already January 10th, folks. Seems like we get into a new year. We blink and the first month is gone. Thank you for helping us once again bring attention to the crisis that we're facing, ongoing crisis, ongoing national sin of the murder of the unborn. And so thank you for that. I would encourage you to take the time this year to spend some time out there praying amongst the crosses. I think it's so important, so important. When you're kneeling in the middle of those crosses, and as you're praying and asking God to overturn this thing and asking God to forgive us the sins of our nation and forgive us for having such a callous attitude towards it. And you know what? I'm at an age where sometimes if I'm getting up off my knees, I like to reach out and try to find something to hold on to. You know what? You just touch that cross and then sit there and weep for a while. Because the cross that you touched is 60,000 unborn babies. Thanks for helping us keep that in front. Men's prayer breakfast, ladies' dessert night. Again, you got a reason for it? Of course we got a reason for it. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to strengthen the unity of the church. We need to come together more. Ladies, I want you to get to know each other a little bit more. If you went to the first one, you understand that, you know, me and my wife sat down and we very much constructed that just so that you can strengthen bonds of friendship. You can get to know each other a little bit better. You can care about each other a little bit more. And you can have fun doing it. You can have a good time doing it, all right? And then, of course, we've got the youth rally and the soup night. And again, yeah. What's that for? That's because I like soup. All right. That's the reason for that. That's the only reason there is. Now, again, it feeds into fellowship. Now, February is so important. We take an entire month every year, and I've done this since the day that the first February I was pastor here. And I just want our church to hunker down for a month. And I want the Lord just to burden our hearts about this idea of reaching the world and impacting the world. We've got guests. You can read the list. We've got one evangelist coming in, several missionaries coming in. We're going to hear from our church planter, James Young, and he's going to take a Sunday night. By the way, I got a call, and it's not on the calendar because I just got a call, or email, sorry, an email this past week. And Johnny Esposito is in the country, and he can't get back over to where he's supposed to be. He said, I'm stuck here for a while, so I'm going to use it to try to, you know, report to as many churches till they give us the green light because of this COVID restrictions that I can get back to what I'm doing. And he's going to be here Sunday night, February 21st. And so you can add that to the list. And you'll I'm telling you, we probably won't tape it that night. He's in the countries he's not supposed to be into, and he's doing things that, you know what, God's okay with, but those governments aren't okay with. And I want him to just tell you. I told him, I want you to tell our people, and we won't record it. You notice when we put it, we advertise, I think it's Brother Dylan that's coming. You know what we say, he's a missionary to the Middle East. Well, you know what, he's going to a specific country. Again, because we're being live streamed, we try to be really careful, because there's a lot of things that are happening, even in their prayer letters, that they can only say so much about. And many of the prayer letters that come from these parts of the world will come with a reminder, please don't put this on social media. They want to keep the church informed, but they also want to, folks, listen, they are doing courageous things. And so anyway, you'll get to hear some of that. You'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. And so be in prayer for our Christian school. They're going to be putting on the Blessed Hope Baptist School drama presentation on February 26th. And then in March, Operation Occupation launch night. And I appreciate Brother Young saying what he did. Boy, what a great challenge for us tonight. I love that thought. I'm sitting back there saying, Lord, I want that to happen. Man, if you could give me a soul. From the second mission field I'm in, if you could give me a soul between now and the end, well, I got excited about that. So, and then, folks, our spring program, spring attendance campaign, we'll be launching that. Brother Gordon, I've placed him over that. He's going to do the planning of it and the execution, the running of it, and he's doing the whole thing. And so what's happening in the spring program? I don't know yet. I'll let you know when he comes to me and shares it with me, but just developing our staff, and they do such a good job. Now, we're going to do something. Our Blessed Hope Baptist Church Hoosier Hospitality Camp Meeting, we did a couple years ago. I want you to get to meet some of the preachers and pastors from around Indiana. And we've got those men that's listed there. They'll be coming in, preaching from the pulpit here, and telling us a little bit about what's going on in their ministry. And I think some of them that are coming from the big city, that when they give their testimony, it'll do nothing. If it doesn't do anything else, it'll make us thankful that we're where we're at, amen. And so we need to pray for these, man. We get into April. We've got the couples retreat. We've got the ladies retreat, okay, both in that month, of course, Easter Sunday. And then if you'll notice, gentlemen, ladies retreat, April 23rd and 24th. Well, then we're going to have a Sunday night after service fellowship. Well, you can't ask ladies to come off of a ladies retreat and do that. Besides that, every once in a while, the ladies need to step back and just let men take charge so that we can really teach you how to properly lay out a spread that will get men excited, amen? And so you come at your own risk, because everything that's going to be out there is going to be cooked or burnt, grilled. I'm going to make desserts. I've already got the dessert planned I'm going to make. Yep, I'm going to get a bunch of Hostess cupcakes and just smash gummy worms into them, and that, you know. That's good. That's all a man needs. That's what a man needs, you know. That'll take you down the road. So anyway, I don't know what kind of cheese and crackers. Come on, man. Come on. Some summer sausage. You're good. You're good. That's it. Anyway, so, man, I see already God's moving. Already. God has given men in this church a vision right now for that night. And what God wants them to do for that night. So, man alive, I don't even have to organize it, guys. We won't have a meeting. We won't plan it. Just show up, all right? And these ladies got lists back there. We don't need a list. Come on. Just show up. What's all this list stuff doing anyway? Good night. We can handle it. Okay, no forks. We won't have any forks. And we won't have any spoons or napkins. There won't be plates. You'll just walk down the line and you'll just grab a handful of food. And just stuff it in your mouth. And we're going to be a super spreader that night, amen. Super spreader. And so then we get into May, at least the portion of the congregation that lives after eating at the men's marvelous menu night. We'll get into May, the rest of us. And be in prayer for Brother Travis. We've got one senior as far as from our Christian school that's graduating this year. And so you be in prayer for him. That'll be a big deal. Mother's Day, we celebrate that in the morning. And Blessed Hope Baptist Church's 48th anniversary. They always kind of fall on the same Sunday. And I should have talked to Dad about that when I was back in fifth grade when he was starting a church. We could have planned this better, but anyway, we're also, and I'm going to give you this thought, but by then, part of our 48th year celebration is we're going to produce a list, several lists of things that we want to accomplish here at the church between the 48th anniversary and the 50th anniversary. And we're going to make them available to the members, and we're going to ask you to take a look at the list and help us get some things to the finish line and all of these things. But we want to redo some things. We want to spruce some things up. We'll do some things physically to the property. But we also want to do some planning and some preparation for that celebration. And we may be celebrating it in heaven. That'd be all right. But we'll go ahead and come up with a plan there. So don't forget about that. Into the school year, of course. Then, folks, man alive, how could it be June without Vacation Bible School? Evangelist Ron Comfort, still going strong on into his 80s, has agreed to give us a Sunday, and he's such a blessing. And then we have for our June and July and August, as far as our summer, junior camp week, that's local here, day camp. And then we're going to put down again Kite River Revival Campgrounds. Now, you notice they're in Illinois, so Lord knows what will happen there. But we're going to try to get our kids finally to teen camp. I've got teenagers that have never been to teen camp. I'm going to try to get them there. And so, and then into August and the start of school and all that. Now, September, we're going to have our attendance campaign. And we'll be attending the youth rallies and some things like that. That'll spill over into October. And then we're going to do a men's overnight retreat. That'll be a local thing, two nights. 2 days, one night, and then we're going to conclude with a Saturday night, what I'm calling a beast feast, or it's an outdoors banquet. That's going to be designed. All the rest of what goes on that weekend, gentlemen, will be for the fellowship of the men in our church together. But that banquet on Saturday night is going to be specifically designed to be evangelistic. And I want you to invite men in the community that you know, and we'll make it a big deal. We'll make it appealing to them. We'll make it something they'll want to come to. But boy, I just like to get a bunch of lost men in here that just love the outdoors and get a chance to tell them, hey, let me introduce you to the one who made all of the outdoors, all right? And so we've got that going on. Pastor Hal Hightower. Now, all the other years that we've ever had him, it said Evangelist Hal Hightower. But we're going to have Brother Hightower back to preach a revival in October and then into November. We've got some things planned as far as just, again, the prayer breakfast, ladies' dessert at night. We're doing that every other month, six times. And then after church fellowship and Thanksgiving Eve, and then we're going to start to have the Christmas banquet. And we have Evangelist Buster Kinsey that's going to be speaking at our banquet and also preaching all day on Sunday. And those of you that have never met him, I'm telling you right now, you are going to be so blessed. Amazing, amazing man, amazing testimony, and a preacher of the Bible. Boy, he's a preacher. You'll enjoy him. And then Sword Sunday, Dr. Smith, and another Christmas cantata, and all of those things. Now, let me talk to you also about another thing that's going to happen that is really a big deal here, Lord willing, will happen in 2021. And that is, of course, the launching of a new church plant down in Jasper, Indiana. And we appreciate Brother James Young. The way that God has moved in his heart, prepared him and his wife. I think he's out preaching, and he's going to be gone the next couple weekends. He's out on deputation. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. But, I had several men tell me when, in the last year or 2 years, they'd come to me and say, Preacher, where are we going to do the next church plant? Or when are we going to do the next church plant? And I said, the question is not where and when. The first question has to be answered is who? Who? Amen. And I said, just pray about that. And everyone that would come to me, and I understand, I appreciate the excitement of that, but I'd say, pray. And here, about 6-8 months ago, James Young gives me a call and says, could I meet with you? Came into that meeting, shared his burden for Jasper, looked at me and said, Pastor Ross, I'd like you to pray, at least pray, consider us launching out of this church. And I said, man, some men in our church have been praying for who? Because look at that, he just walked in the door. And I'm so, so thankful for them. And so thankful for, I'll tell you what, I think all of us have got to watch the different things they've gone through since they've been a part of this church. And I can tell you, all of us together can just do nothing but look at them with admiration. They've handled things well. difficult situations. They're focused. They're on board. Now you pray for them. Okay, you pray for them. We get up and we announce this. Don't think the devil's not listening. And folks, you know what? He doesn't want to see a church planted down in the Jasper area. And so, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, you know what? I just stick close to Jesus. I'm not going to spend any time scared of the devil. The Bible doesn't tell me to be afraid of him. It tells me to resist him. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, the way I can do that is not through my own power. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. All right? You better tap into the right strength and get your power from the right source. And so, but you know what? Man, the Lord is for it. So the devil can be against it all he wants to. And but folks, listen, this means we're going into a year of sacrifice. You're going to hear that word a lot. When we go into a church plant year, it can't be done unless we decide it's going to be a year of sacrifice. And so I'm calling everybody to begin to pray towards this, and everybody to begin to think in that mindset. And I want you to this year, just before you start planning and spending and doing, I want you to revolve around the thought pattern of, well, wait a minute. We don't plant a church every year. We only get to do this a handful of times. And 2021's a year of sacrifice. Now that means I'm going to sacrifice some things that maybe I would normally do. And some money that I might normally spend. I am already praying and ask God. You know, he's got some of his stuff at my place. And I said, Lord, is there any of this you need me to sell, your stuff? Because if there is, I want to get this thing done. Yeah, he keeps stuff at my house. Matter of fact, all the stuff at my house belongs to God. All the stuff at your house belongs to God. So I'm just asking, anytime you need something, want something, whatever we got to do to get this to the finish line, I'm excited about it. And so we're going to take some steps in order to get this thing accomplished. And one of the things that we're going to do, first of all, folks, is we need to pray. It has to start with prayer. And so we're going to, from time to time, we're going to do what we did the other day, and we're going to put the call out. I understand because of men's work schedules and stuff, not everybody can always come. But, gentlemen, we need to, on a regular basis, over the course of the next 6 months, find our way down to Jasper and just pray. Ask God to do something. I was excited when I came back from that first meeting. I heard some men say, you know, preacher, I think from time to time I'm just going to drive down. I'm just going to drive around and get to know the city. I'm just going to go to the different streets and pause and pray. And this is our church members, men, that are saying this on the way back home. And I thought to myself, that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take driving to the neighborhoods and just parking your car and say, oh, God, please, from this neighborhood, give us souls. From this street, give us a family. And I understand Brother James and Miss Sammy's going to be the tip of the spear on this thing. But boy, they shouldn't feel like they're wandering out there by themselves. Folks, it is a biblical principle that there ought to be an established church that births a brand new church. And God allows us to be the mother church here. And there can only be one mother at a time. Okay? But there needs to be a bunch of sisters. And I'm already on the phone talking to men. I'll spend some more time on the phone this week calling preachers and pastors and saying, hey, you got any missions money? Isn't it interesting when they call and they see Jerry Ross? Wonder what he wants. Got any missions money? Click. You know. Then I'll laugh and I'll say, let me tell you what's going on. And let me have you pray about something. We need help. We need help. You have not because ye. All right. And you know what? But listen, it'd be terrible. I'd be criminal for me to be reaching outside of this church asking somebody else to sacrifice, and we're not willing to do it ourselves. So I want you to really take that to heart, what I just said, okay? And be prayerful about it and think about it, because, you know, I think that God's going to give you an opportunity to experience a level of sacrifice during this process that I think you'll be glad for. Hey, you know what? We sacrificially, I'm telling you, me and my wife, we sacrificially gave to see that church planted in Princeton 4 years ago. You think I regret it? You think I regret a penny of it? I don't regret a penny of it. Do it all over again. I want to be a part of these things. So think about it. And we need to pray for them. Then we need to pray about a meeting place. And folks, of course, that's big. That's one of the major prayer requests right now. We got to have a meeting place. And so we got to have a building, some place where we can meet. And so be praying about that specifically. And then also we need to raise money here at the church. I'm setting a goal. I'm setting it out there in front of the church. I'd like between now and the end of February, so I'm talking about next 7 weeks, we need to raise $25,000 to begin to bankroll and put into the church planning account so that we can have the money to move on a building when we find a building. If it needs remodeled to be able to do it, we're going to try to raise about $60,000 between now and when he launches the church. Now, this is not money for their personal support. This is money that goes into the account so that we can bankroll what they're needing to do and then give them so that he doesn't have to worry about the financial part. He can just get down there, roll up his sleeves, and go to work. We are asking churches in the area and churches across America to invest in this. This is where the sister churches come in. And I want him to raise money. He'll be gone a lot. He's got a lot of meetings planned. He's going to be out there on deputation. Please pray that that's proper. Because we need financial help for him and his family so that, again, he doesn't have to worry about that. He can focus on, for at least the first 3 years, just focus on what we're doing. And so you be in prayer. Now, look right up here. That means 7 weeks from tonight. That means I want you to start thinking about it, praying about it. I'd like to see a lot of that giving happen during Missions Emphasis Month. Where, you know what, I'm not going to say on any given Sunday, I'm just giving you a deadline. This is what the goal is. Let's try to get it done by here. But sometime during Missions Emphasis Month, you know, think about that. If you and your wife, you and your family come in, you pull one of those missions envelopes out in front of you. You write on it, Church Plant, Jasper Church Plant. You put something in there that shows God in God's eyes is very sacrificial for your family. I don't believe in equal giving. I believe in equal sacrifice. What may be a sacrifice for somebody is an impossibility for another. But I believe all of us ought to be able to say at the end of this, we truly sacrificed to be able to see God do that. So that's exciting. That's exciting. Go back to the scriptures now, Romans chapter number 13. And let's just take the remainder of our time and talk a little bit about our theme. And you see the new banners that are up. The theme this year is armored, and our verse is put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And so we look in the Bible, and there's several different places where you find the word armor and where it's mentioned. Several places in the Old Testament. And then when you get into the New Testament, this idea of armor and it being associated with the Christian life. It's a recurring theme in the New Testament. We read tonight, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, verse 12. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I begin reading verse number 11. There's some things, folks, that are happening all around us. Alarm clocks are going off. Your pastor preached a message out of this portion of Scripture about a year ago, sometime this past year, called High Time. It's high time. And think about this. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake. And I told you, it's wake up time. That's what I said, it's wake up time. Now think about that. I preached that before a lot of the things ended up happening that happened this year. And you know what God did? He said, I'm not going to just set one alarm clock and let it go off. I'm going to set alarm clocks all across the nation and have them just keep going off. Seems like every time I turn on the news, there's another alarm clock going off. And God's trying to wake us up, that now that it is high time to awake out of sleep. So it's wake up time. The Bible talks about the danger of us as Christians of falling asleep, spiritually falling asleep. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Romans 13, we read in that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. And in Matthew chapter 25, I mentioned this usually every time I get on this subject about those parable of the 10 virgins. And you know what? The Bible says that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Not just the ones that didn't have the oil, but the ones that had the oil. 1 Corinthians 15, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, folks, alarm clocks are annoying. I don't like alarm clocks. You know why? Because when you've fallen into a deep sleep, there's two things you don't want. You don't want someone flipping the light on, and you don't want a noise, a loud noise that's waking you up. Both of those things will irritate you. Well, when we fall into a spiritual deep sleep, guess what? God has to irritate us into wakefulness. And so he allows some alarm clocks to go off. You see, when you folks, listen to me. I believe that a lot of the things, most of the things that have happened in 2020 is just, let me just boil it down to this. You can get into the arguments, you can look at all the nuances, and you can, let me just tell you from a spiritual standpoint, God is trying to wake the church up. Wake us up. And hey, you better look at the time, you better look at the clock, because now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Okay? Think about this, folks. There's a reason that a lot of Christians have gone away from churches that do strong Bible preaching. You know why? Because Bible preaching is supposed to be an alarm clock. I'm not supposed to make it a comfortable situation for you to come in here and just stay asleep spiritually or fall asleep spiritually. Somebody's got to be up here, and they've got to be shouting, and they've got to be hollering, and they've got to be carrying on, and they've got to be pointing at the prophetic clock, and listen, here's the signs of the time, and here's what God's doing, and let's go. Okay? And so American churches used to be that double bell clattering alarm clock, but now I'm afraid you go into most of them, they're playing violin music and putting people to sleep. And so Ephesians chapter 5, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Again, that bright light, loud noise. Let's shine the light. Let's let the alarm clocks wake us up, and let's roll our sleeves up and get excited about what God is doing. What is COVID-19? It's an alarm clock. What's all of these riots and different things in the streets? Alarm clock. It's a bright light. You said, preacher, what's this election? It's alarm clock. You know, I stood up here and flat said it, okay? Everybody's praying for 4 more years of grace, another space of grace. What'd you do with the last 4? What'd you do with the last 4? Okay, and if we wasted the last 4, then why would God give us 4 more? So we can be comfortable? That's the problem, is we're too comfortable. And so, you know what? I'm not going to rejoice in it. I'm going to mourn on January 20th. You know why? Because the Bible says that when the wicked rule, the people mourn. I'm going to mourn. It'll be a day of mourning for me. But you know what? At the same time, I'm going to get on my knees and say, God, whatever you need to do to wake the church up, do it. Let's go. Okay? So wake up, and then the Bible talks about look up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Why does he want us to wake up? Because he wants us to look up. He says, the day is at hand. What day? The day of the Lord. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Then it talks about cleaning up. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And folks, listen, one of the things that all of these events ought to do is just get us to reevaluate our life. And it's time to cast off the works of darkness, okay? It's time for us to get clean before God. What a timely scripture for what America is going through today. Think about that. I'm going to talk about putting on the armor of light, but before we do, you got to cast off something before you put it on. And you know what? Light and darkness does not mix. And this needs to be a cleaning time, a purging time, okay? All right? I see a lot of different reactions to what's going on. I'm not sure I'm seeing the reaction that God wants to see. And I hear people complaining. I hear people carrying on. I hear people talking crazy. I don't see people at the altar weeping over sin. I don't see people turning from sin. I don't people, cleaning up their act and cleaning up their house and cleaning up their lives. That's the reaction that we need to see, a cleanup time. It ought to be a cleanup time. And then this idea, if you look at our text verse there for tonight, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And so it's wake up. Look up, clean up. How about this one? Armor up. I just added that one for tonight's message. Armor up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Now, what's that talking about? Well, we don't have to wonder because we have a wonderful portion of scripture that goes into great detail as far as what the armor is. I'm not going to preach through that tonight. I am going to read a little bit of it. If you want to go over to Ephesians chapter 6, let's at least look at the text verse, our theme verse tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll begin in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I went out and preached a chapel last Wednesday, and I stood before our students in chapel, and I said to them, preached a message on how to become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. We've got to train soldiers. We've got to prepare ourselves for battle. All right? You want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? You interested in that? Well, there's some things that you have to do. First of all, you have to volunteer. The Lord's army is an all-volunteer army. God's not going to make you join it. You've got to decide you want to be a part of it. So it's a volunteer. You got to volunteer. You know what Isaiah says? Hear my Lord. Send me. Hear my volunteer. I said this to him. Attend boot camp. I don't care who you are, how much education you have, or how much money your family has. You join the army. You're going to boot camp with everybody else. There's no exceptions to it. Folks, listen to what I'm going to say here. Every good, biblical, local church ought to feel a little bit like a boot camp. Every Christian school ought to have a little bit of a boot camp feel to it. You know why? We're training soldiers. We're training soldiers, okay? The right kind of church ought to feel a little bit like a spiritual boot camp. Think about that. If you are not being challenged, you're not in the right church. If you're not being challenged on a regular basis, people go to church in this area and go a whole year and never feel challenged to change or do anything, you're in the wrong church. You know what? That drill sergeant's going to challenge you. By the way, he's going to growl every once in a while. He's going to holler every once in a while. He may get in your face a little bit. Say, well, he hates me. No, he knows there's a war going on. He knows that one of these days you could be in the middle of the battle. He's preparing you to survive. Okay, grow some thick skin. Okay, stop being a weakling and a baby, an emo. All right? Take it. From time to time, your pastor's going to say, I'm going to call you out. Take it. Hey, we're going to stop this. Take it. Or you can do what others have done. That's get mad and leave, and no one's going to talk to me, and I'm going to go somewhere where I'm patted on the head and made to feel good all the time. Okay, but you're not a soldier. And you're not, and listen, if you don't have the armor on, I said this, but I think we've been in a period of time for a while in Christianity where we could get by with leaving our house every morning not armored up. And I'm telling you, those days are going quickly behind us. And if you're going to survive this thing spiritually, you're going to have to put on the armor of the Lord. So we're going to talk a lot about that. Okay, learn the soldierly discipline, self-denial, cross-bearing, a fellowship. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Wear the uniform. Wear the uniform. I don't care who you are. Navy doesn't ask you what you want to wear. They have specific uniforms. They have things they give you and say you need to wear this. Okay? Now think about that. God has every right to tell you how to dress and what you ought to wear and what you should not wear. Okay? Christians need to get back to looking like Christians. You want to be a part of the army, but you don't want to wear the uniform? What's going on? Okay? What Christians wear should be unquestionably modest, unquestionably gender specific, and unquestionably Christian. Shouldn't be able to confuse you with the world. Amen? You know why? Yeah, I tell you the story about the Confederate soldier decided he didn't want to take sides. And so he said, I'm a Civil War soldier. He said, I don't want to take sides. So he decided to put a blue top on, gray pants on. And you know what? He got shot by both sides. And you know what? There shouldn't be any doubt as far as whose side you're on. Now, I want to say this. Listen to me. Identify the enemy. If you're going to be a good soldier, then you got to identify the enemy. Okay? Listen to what it says here. Are you there? Are you over in, where did I tell you to go? Yeah, that book, Ephesians chapter 6. All right, I'm so far off of my notes, I'm wandering right now. Put on, watch this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, identify the enemy. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, the war that I'm talking about is a spiritual war. Okay, and the armor I'm talking about is spiritual armor. Okay, now listen, my enemy is not people. And we've got to remind ourselves of this. You know what? The God haters are filled with hate against people that won't believe what they believe and do what they do and say what they say and agree with them. If we begin to be filled with hate towards them, then we're no better than them. That's not what Christians do. Okay, they're, you know what? They say we're going to convert you through force. We're going to say we're going to convert you through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, folks, listen to me. Be careful. Because I know there's more and more a strong division, but this has to be understood, that the enemy is not people. Jesus died for Nancy Pelosi as much as he died for Jerry Rice. And the enemy is the devil. And I want to say that as far as a lot of the world and the worldliness and the God haters and all that, but look right up here. Okay, I want to help you. If you're going to spend all your time fighting amongst yourselves and tearing each other up, then you're fighting against the wrong person. Okay, this is Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is God's church. This is God's family. I'm going to have to go out to school and have another kindness revival. Remember when the pastor had it about 5 or 6 years ago, went out there and threw down the gauntlet and put it in the curriculum and the requirements of every day that they had to do something kind for each other? I'm about there again. Okay, listen, I want all of you Christian school kids to look right up here at me and listen to what I'm going to say. You have not been deputized. You have no right to walk in that school and say anything mean or caustic to another student. To talk about their family, to talk about their parents, to tell them and say that they're... And by the way, dads, have a meeting. Because between now and Tuesday, this better stop. We don't have that school to train busybodies. It's to train soldiers. We don't have that school to train little gossips, little Pharisees. If you think you're better than somebody else that's in that school, you need a wake-up call. You're no better than anybody else. And you need to get on board with your pastor and be trying to help the other students, not put them down. And Brother Young, I'm going to deputize you in front of everybody. I'm going to tell you what, to me, that's as bad as smuggling in cigarettes or smuggling in dope or having a flask of whiskey in somebody's backpack. It is. We're not going to sanctify our sin. Some kid wants to be mean and caustic to another kid. You just call the parents up and say, you need to come pick this kid up. And you need to have a little revival meeting because we're not treating each other like that. Now, folks, listen to me. You know why little children, I'm talking about elementary kids, are involved in this? And what's coming out of some of their mouths is this. Well, my mom said. Now, you want to win this war? Or do you want to just fight amongst ourselves? Okay, you want to spend your life tearing everybody else down? Every single young person now attending that school is precious and belongs there and ought to feel loved and wanted and accepted. And you know what? They're all not going to come from Christian homes. So you good Christians can spend your life pecking them to death. Or you could decide to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the amens, but I don't need them right now. I'm fine saying this if nobody agrees. I mean it, because I'm going to tell you something. Now, listen. That the only reason that nonsense goes in amongst our young people is we've got a sin problem amongst some of the parents. And I need you to get right with God in this area. Your job is not to walk around putting people down so you feel more spiritual. Stop shooting at each other. Every member of this church God has placed here, every member of this church, your pastor loves you, and I'm for you. And yeah, I've got to be pastor sometime, but I'm going to tell you something. For the handful of times you hear me growl at you, I promise you there's 100 times I've been on my knees praying for you and weeping for you. And I'm rooting for you. And I love you. And we need you here. So let's throw off that. You know what that's called? Casting off works of darkness. Now, I mean, there's some Christian kids, school kids, need to walk into school Tuesday, go find another student and say, I am so sorry for what I said about you, or I'm so sorry for what I said about your mom or your parents or your home situation. I need you to forgive me. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen to me. You know what I'm trying to do here? I'm not trying to make Brother Young's life easier or Miss Fiber or Mrs. Walton's life easier. I'm trying to train soldiers. And the devil's so good at getting everybody riled up against each other that the devil's over in the corner laughing, pulling off what he pulls off. And you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ is in chaos. Think about it. Then the last thought I told them was get in the battle. Get in the battle. Get in the battle. Told them, you know what? There's training times, and they're going through those training times, but there's also going to be times we have to stand and fight. Now, last days, it's time for strength. What kind of strength? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay? You know what? It's time, 2021 is time for strength. But it's not time for me to stand in my own strength. It's time for me to tap into God's strength, the power of His might. It's time for unity. I just dealt with that. I'm going to keep dealing with it. I'm not going away on this. I didn't blow up once, and now I'm going to let you keep doing it. I mean it. There's going to be people in my office, or I'm going to be at your home, and we're going to stop this nonsense. And if that's your mission in life, is to sow discord among the brethren, go sow it in somebody else's church. Because there's somebody here on guard, and I'm not going to let you hurt people just because you want to feel better about yourself by putting somebody else down. That's wicked. So it's a time to pull together, okay? The things we're planning, church things, come to them. I can't make you. All volunteer army. But come to them. Show up. Sit beside someone you don't know. Come on. Go find somebody in the church you really haven't got to know that much. Don't always sit with the same handful of people. Amen. Young people, go sit by an older couple. Okay? All right? And talk loud. Amen. Come on now. Talk loud. When you're talking to them, talk loud. Just trying to help you have a good conversation there. It's time to put on the arm. We're going to spend some time. I'm done. We're going to spend some time this year talking you through and teaching you through this. I believe that every morning, doesn't take a long time. Didn't take you long to get dressed. Well, it doesn't take men long to get dressed. But you know what? It doesn't take that long. But if you're walking out of your house and you don't have the armor of God on, I'm telling you, you're in more danger than you understand. And you know what we need? We need a church of soldiers. But we need a church of soldiers that are armored up. And, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a good time teaching through some of that. Not just what you find here in Ephesians chapter 6, but I'm telling you, by the time we chase this thing all through the Bible, I think you're going to open your Bible a few times and go, oh, my goodness, thanks. You know what? I've been trying to serve the Lord without armor. Scary. Scary. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you that no matter what we face, no matter how many changes, shifts, no matter what the world tries to do and what the devil launches, whatever attacks, we can just go back to the Word of God and we can go to certain portions and we can understand and we can learn. And thank you that there's a book that doesn't change. There's a God that never changes. Help us to be faithful also. Lord, and all the things that we've planned here, Lord, for this year, I pray, Lord, that you help the church to come together in unity and participation and just put our hearts together and love each other and help each other and stand by each other and be a blessing. Lord, help us to go out into the highways and byways, compel them to come in. At some point, there's going to be that last soul, going to be that last soul saved, that last one reached. Lord, there's going to be at some point, only God knows this. God, you're the only one to know where that last one is. There's going to be somebody to get saved, and then that's going to be it. Trumpet's going to sound. Jesus is coming back. So, Lord, help us to be busy. Help us to be busy in these last days. Bless our people, good people. Lord, you've brought together. I just look around and I think, Lord,
If you can get us all going in the right direction, you can get us all with the sin out of our lives. You've put together something remarkable here. But help us to decide. Decide to fix some things in our lives and in our heart. I pray these things in Jesus' name.